Mountain State Mysteries contains mature themes and discussions that may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. All individuals mentioned in this episode are considered innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
I'm your host, Mark Covey.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is Mountain State Mysteries. The case we have for you today involves coal dust, corruption, and a man who refused to back down. In the early 20th century, the coal fields in West Virginia, there was a man who became a legend, a symbol of defiance, and ultimately a target. So, Court, are you ready to get lost in this mystery?
Sure.
Good, because this is a case you've begged to cover since the beginning of Mountain State Mysteries. This is the case of Sid Hatfield. Sid Hatfield was born in a tumultuous time in southern West Virginia's history. Before he was the sheriff of Matewan in 1919, he worked in the coal mines of Matewan. At this time, there was a lot of social unrest among the mine workers in the area against their coal companies for unsafe work environments, poor housing, and the unfair use of coal script. The miners were paid in script instead of a paycheck, and the script could only be used at the company's own store. Court, you know what script is, right?
I sure do.
Now, for those of you who don't know, it's kind of like a coin. There's like different sizes, and there's usually like a design on it with a hole in it, or the ones I've seen.
A lot of it, too, had the company's name on it because it could only be spent at that company store.
I have seen so much script in my life. Like, Nanny and Papa collected script from all over, so I've probably seen script from Matewan before. So many people believe that the mayor of Matewan, Cable C. Testerman, appointed Sid as sheriff because of his viewpoint on the coal companies. Sid assisted the United Mine Workers campaign in the early 1920s. In January of 1920, the United Mine Workers of America launched a campaign to organize non-union workers in southern West Virginia, along the border of West Virginia-Kentucky. At least 3,000 miners joined the union, which went against coal company policies forbidding employees to unionize. They were fired from their jobs for these actions and forced to vacate their company-owned homes. Those who refused were forcibly evacuated by the Baldwin Felts detectives. The Baldwin Felts detectives, Al and Lee Felts, along with 13 other detectives, arrived in Matewan on May 19, 1920, to evict the striking unionized miners and their families from their houses. So the West Virginia Encyclopedia describes how the Baldwin Felts detectives forced families out of their homes. Court, do you care to read it?
The agents evicted families from their homes at gunpoint and left their belongings in the street. This shit pisses me off. I get so mad every time I think about this.
Right. Like, I
get so mad.
I couldn't even imagine. Now, word would spread quickly of the forced evictions, and miners began to arm themselves. As the Baldwin Felts detectives prepared to leave that evening, Sid and Testerman confronted the detectives at the train station. Multiple arrest warrants were issued from each party before the shooting began. As they argued, shots began to rain down. Little did they know that the miners armed themselves and hid, just waiting to ambush them. The shooting lasted only a couple of minutes, but 10 people lost their lives. 7 Baldwin Felts detectives, including both Felts brothers, 2 miners, and Mayor Testerman.
Hi, I'm Shane.
I'm Hannah.
And
we're
Country
Roads Creeps.
We're a podcast that covers all manner of creepy, spooky stories From cryptids and conspiracies, to unexplained deaths and disappearances, to mysterious and paranormal happenings in the world.
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. Check out our Facebook page and our Instagram account at Country Roads Creeps for photo dumps and more information we'll post with every episode.
If you enjoy the show, please feel free to share us with your friends and leave us a 5-star review. And if there's any topics that you'd like to hear us cover in the future, feel free to message us on our social media accounts. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. Well, be safe driving home and watch out for the not deer.
Bye.
Bye.
Sid Hatfield survived what would come to be called, quote, the Matewa Massacre, end quote, unharmed. 10 days later, he married Jessie Lee Maynard, Testerman's widow, which led to a widespread rumor that the whole event had been a plot to get Jessie. Some of the accusations came from Thomas Feltz, the surviving Feltz brother, and the Baldwin's Feltz spy, Charles Everett Lively, that Hatfield had been the one to shoot the mayor.
Which I actually never knew that rumor, did you?
No, that's actually one I didn't know.
Yeah, I like found it in the research. I'm like, I know Courtney knows all of this, so I'm not sure if she knows this or not.
No, that one's a complete surprise there.
However, Jessie asked Sid to take care of their son if he was ever killed. Sid, along with 17 strikers, were indicted on murder charges from the Matewa Massacre in early 1921. They were all acquitted by a jury. Sid was later sent to Welch to stand trial on conspiracy charges for another incident in Mohawk, West Virginia. The mining camp of Mohawk was attacked, according to local mine guards, in an effort to force Mohawk Camp to unionize. The mine guards pointed to Mingo County strikers led by Sid and Ed Chambers. His sheriff's deputy, according to the West Virginia Encyclopedia, C.E. Lively gave a secret testimony that he encouraged miners to arm themselves and attack the non-unionized camp at Mohawk. When the miners arrived, they had an armed crowd waiting for them. However, union leaders testified that the shootings were done by McDowell County mine guards and that they were trying to falsely accuse Hatfield and Chambers in order to ambush them in McDowell County. Sid and Chambers arrived in Welch on that fateful day of August 1, 1921, to testify in court against the charges under McDowell County Sheriff Bill Hatfield's encouragement. The two would have the, quote, fullest protections, end quote. So when Hatfield and Chambers arrived in Welch on the morning of August 1, 1921, with their wives in hand to testify against conspiracy charges while walking up the steps of the McDowell County Courthouse, Sid Hatfield and Ed Chambers were both shot.
Hey y'all, I'm Elisa.
And I'm Samantha.
And welcome to Watch for Deer Podcast. We're a couple of best friends from Southern West Virginia, and around here, Watch for Deer is our way of saying we love you and be safe.
This is a conversational podcast that covers many topics from A to Z, including, but not limited to, true crime and the paranormal. Our goal is to bring you an episode a week, so come listen as we tell stories that will make you laugh and maybe even blow your mind. Y'all be safe,
and watch for deer.
Sid is said to have died instantly after being shot in the chest and arm. Ed was shot multiple times as his wife tried to protect him, but was eventually shot in the head, reportedly by Charles Everett Lively. Rumors spread like wildfire over the next few days and months as to who had shot in the first incident. The Baldwin Feltz detectives later testified that they shot in self-defense after making eye contact with Sid Hatfield. No one was ever convicted in the deaths. On January 15, 1921, the morning issue of the Bluefield Daily Telegraph summed up the trial. Court, I have it in the document. Can you read it?
Buster Pence and William Salters were released on bond here Tuesday afternoon by Judge Strother. until the April term of court. These men appeared in answer to an indictment carryover from the last term of court, charging these men with killing Sid Hatfield. During the past term of court, under a joint indictment were the killing of Ed Chambers. They were found not guilty in one of the most sensational trials ever held in local court. Hatfield and Chambers were just entering the grounds of the courthouse with their wives when the shooting started, which resulted in the death of both men. Lively and Pence did not deny the shooting, maintaining all during the trial. However, they shot in self-defense. Salters denied having ever shot at all.
Now, one thing that kind of shocked me through all of this, like all the research, is we know the name Hatfield. Like, we know Sid is from the infamous Hatfield family that had the Hatfields and McCoys feud. I never would have thought that thousands of people mourned his death. Like, I figured it would just be like a close family and friends type thing. I was wrong.
I think a lot of it came out, like, to support, because he actually supported the union and was a very big, huge reason in the support that got the unions into Mate One.
I'm going to be honest, I never really knew that. I figured, you know, like, I knew the story, but I didn't know the full story. Like, I never knew he was part of the Mate One massacre and all of that. Like, I had no idea until, like, the other day when I was typing this all up. Both of their funerals were attended by at least 3,000 people. Sid Hatfield's funeral was conducted with full honors from the Odd Fellows, Pythias, and Redmen, all organizations that he was a member of. Sid and Ed were regarded as heroes in the Southwest coalfields, and the miners considered their deaths to be murders. In response, thousands rose in rebellion in late August and September in the Miners' March.
The miners would march from August 24th to September 1st, fighting in the Battle of Blair Mountain and capturing half of the 25-mile mountain ridge in Logan and Mingo County. The President of the United States, at the time Warren G. Harding, placed a strike zone under martial law and ordered federal troops and a bombing squadron towards the miners' stronghold. According to the West Virginia Encyclopedia, the miners were unwilling to resist United States soldiers and agreed to surrender. While the, quote, Miners' March, end quote, was admittedly not fully as successful as the miners may have hoped, Sid's influence on miners fighting for their rights is undeniable. His influence, even after death, continued to inspire miners to fight for fair wages and safe working conditions.
Sid Hatfield was more than a sheriff. He was a symbol of defiance, a man who stood his grounds against powerful enemies. But in the end, he couldn't escape the violence that had become a way of life in the coal fields. His murder was meant to silence a movement, but instead, it became a rallying cry that echoed through the hills of West Virginia. His story is woven into the very fabric of Appalachian history. But his fate was sealed in the moment he took the stand. Or was there more at play? Next week is an off week for Mountain State Mysteries. We will be back the following week with a brand new episode. If you find yourself enjoying Mountain State Mysteries, take a second to follow, download, and rate the show on your favorite podcast platform. It helps others find good West Virginia true crime podcasts.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube, all at Mountain State Mysteries.
Do you have a case you want us to cover? Send us an email at mountainstatemysteries304@gmail.com.
For the show notes, check out our website, mountainstatemysteriespodcast.com.